Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who's extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing, will the pandemic forever change property management? And joining me today by phone is an extremely talented multimedia journalist, Holly Dutton, who is the Senior Associate Editor with Multi-Housing News. Welcome, Holly.
Thank you, Paul. Good to be here.
Well, I kind of reached out to you through your company that you work with because I read a story on Multi-Housing News that you had written recently, which was entitled, the topic we're talking about today, Will the Pandemic Forever Change Property Management? And just kind of reading, for the benefit of our listeners, the introduction to your article, it says, the COVID-19 outbreak poses unprecedented challenges for multifamily operators. Industry leaders break down the short-term challenges and lasting impacts. Now, you interviewed some of the movers and shakers in our industry when it comes to their thoughts on this topic. So tell me a little bit about kind of how you formulated the topic and how it all came together.
Sure. So I've been covering a lot of property management issues throughout the pandemic and even before. I actually do a property management newsletter. So, I'm usually on top of what's going on and paying attention. And I just really got to thinking, like, this is such a big, unprecedented thing that's happening. It's got to have not just short-term but long-term impacts. And, from what I was hearing about how people were having to change, the way they operate, that's really what got me thinking. And I wanted to find an answer to that question. Are things going to be forever changed? Or will this be mostly short-term? What will we take with us? So that's how it kind of came together. And I wanted to speak to, a variety of people in the industry, smaller firms, bigger firms, people at servicing firms that kind of look at the market. So I was able to really speak to a lot of different people and get some really good perspectives. And it was really interesting what I heard. Some of I expected and some I didn't. So it was very interesting.
Well, I was going to say, we certainly on this show have not had a shortage of topics dealing with the pandemic since it kind of took everyone by surprise and literally changed the way multifamily properties and multifamily management companies had to operate overnight. But there's been a debate going back and forth as to, whenever this pandemic is behind us, will things go back to the way they were? And I really was interested in, what the folks you interviewed had to say, because there's some debate about some of the things, but there is going to be a lot of changes that are permanent as a result of what we found out. Now, one of the big change that people have realized on a short term basis, which will probably be a long term change as well, is operating virtually. Talk a little bit about what you found out about that.
Right. So there's kind of two things with that, because there's the idea, too, of going virtual with the property management teams and just kind of leading, and managing the communities, and then also virtual tours, self-guided tours, paying rent online, doing everything online, maintenance requests, talking to management, anything you need, there's online portals for that. So that was the biggest thing that I heard from people that they think is going to change, forever. And there was kind of a push for that before. That was getting more popular, that communities are having more online portals where you can kind of do it all online. And so, and people were really, you know, virtual tours were big. They were already getting big before the pandemic. People were really liking them, self-guided tours. So, you know, from what I heard, that is going to continue. And there'll still be, you know, in-person, you know, hopefully once this ends, there'll still be in-person tours as well. But I think that they, you know, what I heard was people really liked having the options now. You know, they like being able to do a self-guided tour, totally virtual, just looking at, you know, a website and maybe doing a 360 tour on there or looking at really great photos. But, you know, also some people are moving from a different city or from a different state. So it's really nice to have that option if they need to do virtual as opposed to in person. So that was one big thing. And then just the idea of, like I said before, of leading a team. You know, a lot of people told me that it was a challenge at first for their on-site teams and you know, maybe the head office to kind of work remotely like that. But they've gotten very good at it, you know, with Zoom and other programs and had to kind of learn that because, you know, as people told me, it's very much a people business and they're used to the face-to-face with residents and with each other. So that was a really big change.
You know, I can remember going to different conferences, the National Apartment Association conferences over the last several years prior to the pandemic and regional conferences, statewide conferences, and there would be different exhibitors there, and they would have the virtual tour type of software and set up for people. And I would always ask people as they were coming out of the booth, people in the industry, what did you think about that? And, you know, they said, oh, I think it's going to be big at some point, but not, you know, not anytime soon, you know, because we're, just as you said, you know, we're a people business, a face-to-face business, and I don't think anybody is ready yet to entrust the success of their property to a piece of software. That was the basic paraphrased comments that I would get from a lot of people. And of course, a pandemic forced the issue and it expedited that whole process. And yes, it is being more universally accepted. What type of comments did you get from some of the folks you spoke with about making that jump? You know, what kind of issues did they see or did they have to overcome, whether they were psychological or whether it was real issues?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think it was harder for, I know I heard with smaller firms, you know, if they didn't already have some of this new tech, you know, it was harder to start implementing that. And there's also the cost too. But anybody who had already kind of was leaning toward that or starting to do it, it was much in a much easier transition. And then there's, you know, I did hear that with some communities, a lot of them, you know, will have a website and they'll have photos or videos, and they had to kind of scramble in some cases to update them. You know, some sites were better updated than others, you know, because maybe they didn't need as much before, but now it's like you really have to have as much as you can online and the best photos possible and, you know, really cool videos, whether they're 360 or, you know, 3D. So those were some of the challenges I heard.
Yeah, folks that you spoke with there, were they located as far as their portfolios across the country, or were they specifically more in certain areas of the country?
Right, yeah. It was kind of a wide swath, but I would say a lot of the people I spoke to were kind of in the Sun Belt, the South, Florida. You know, a lot of big portfolios there. Yeah.
Yeah, and I would encourage our listeners, if you don't already subscribe to Multi-Housing News, please do so. This article that Holly had written has just been out in the last couple of weeks, so you can see it there by, you know, searching on the website. Holly, before we go to the break, I just wanted to find out from you, when you spoke with the people specifically about the virtual, was it more of a universal feeling amongst everyone that this was going to be one of the things that's a permanent change?
Definitely. Definitely. That was the one thing of various things we talked about that was like, yes, for sure, this is, that's probably the number one thing I would say, yeah, I heard, is yeah. that they're here to stay. Even when in-person comes back, people like these, and it's going to always be an option, and you got to have it going forward.
Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead and break it here. We're coming up against a commercial break. We are going to be back after this short break. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to pmworkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing management company. Consistently excellent.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of will the pandemic forever change property management? I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today by phone is an extremely talented multimedia journalist, Holly Dutton, who is the Senior Associate Editor with Multi-Housing News. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Holly, you know, in the first segment, we were talking about the major thing that all the people you interviewed really kind of focused on as far as a permanent change was going virtual, and we focused our conversation primarily on tours and assisting in the leasing aspect. But then, of course, there's a whole other aspect to the virtual and online situation with multifamily, and that's obviously maintenance requests and apps and so forth. Talk a little bit about what you found out about that.
Yeah, so you know, the idea of amenities and what, you know, what do you do about that during a pandemic? You know, unfortunately, a lot of them have had to be kind of shut down, but that's where, you know, things like apps and keyless entry really come in handy. You know, I heard from a lot of people because then they can really control the access, you know, and make sure, you know, if there's a certain occupancy limit, they can keep it to that. That's been really important, especially if you already had that, and that's, you really have kind of a leg up there. And, you know, I also heard, you know, with collecting rents, not just leasing, but collecting rents, putting in maintenance requests, that can all be done from the same portal online. So that's been really important. And in fact, one company I spoke with, a smaller but growing firm and Florida, you know, they've actually picked up like 2,000 units over the pandemic because they have those kind of the kind of technology to manage buildings, and people really needed that, and they wanted to switch companies because it was so important to have that at the time. So that is definitely something that is very important. And one kind of fun thing I heard talking about maintenance was, you know, because people are trying to limit, you know, interactions between people, they've had to have their maintenance team kind of like walk people through common fixes, maybe on a video chat or on the phone. And then they decided to do YouTube videos of their maintenance team doing kind of like common repairs, like maybe, you know, a stove light or a filter in a refrigerator, kind of just showing them how to do that. And one even did a TikTok video on fixing a leaky faucet. And apparently they really enjoyed that. And maybe they're going to become YouTube stars. I'm not sure, but I've heard they really, I think they might keep doing it even after the pandemic. They liked it so much, and it was successful. People like that. So that's they found a really creative way to adapt there.
Yeah. And speaking of creativity, I think that's something that a lot of, you know, that's just one example of the things that people have had to do to just keep the properties operating with some sense of you know, normalcy to take care of maintenance requests and so forth. But another thing is, you know, as I'm sure you know and our listeners know, the multifamily industry, the apartment industry, for decades, one of the things that people have said negatively about it, as far as residents have said, is they don't even know their neighbors. You know, it's not like living in a neighborhood, you know, which translates to getting a sense of community. And over the years, you know, there's been a lot of inroads made in trying to create that with some companies that specialize in providing that as a vendor to properties, but also internally and on-site staff, you know, do things. Tell us a little bit about how that changed, or it will change after the pandemic.
Yeah, that's a big thing I heard too, of getting creative. You know, there's a big part of a property manager's job is solving problems, right? You know, and they already have to already be on their toes all the time, but this is like, you know, the ultimate kind of test of that. And so an immediate thing that had to change, right, was some of the in-person, you know, events, maybe pizza party or an event by the pool. You know, how do you change that during a pandemic? Well, one thing I heard was that virtual yoga classes were really big. Someone had a lot of success, a firm with that. I heard from a few people that at some communities they would have, you know, a musician, maybe someone with a guitar come and play in the courtyard of the building. And, you know, residents could kind of enjoy the music from their balconies or out the window. That's been really successful, particularly at senior communities, I've heard. And I also heard about some events where, you know, if you have the space and parking lots, you can get a couple food trucks to come in and, you know, make sure everyone's socially distancing. But that's a way, you know, you're outside, that's safer, you're not indoors. So that's something I've heard too. And also just making sure on with your social media, you know, when you talk about creating a sense of community, you know, I heard that from people that was really important to them, to make sure they were, you know, trying to keep build that community and online and communicate with their residents and let them know any updates of any news, you know, changes and lockdown rules locally or nationally, and then also just what events they're having, you know, and that's just a good way to kind of strengthen those relationships between residents and the community.
You know, did you get any comments from the folks that you interviewed regarding the fact that there's going to be a shift of some kind? I'm not sure what the magnitude is going to end up being, but of people, you know, permanently working from home, and how that's going to affect the way the property operates and what they have to do as far as interacting with their residents.
Yeah, that's a very interesting one, too. You know, I think that one's tough, too, because some communities already have a co-working space, which is great, but obviously has to be monitored for, you know, socially distancing. But I've heard that, you know, in the kind of going forward, that the people are really considering design changes, you know, that maybe even post-COVID, you know, in the future, companies may be more flexible about people working from home, and people may feel more comfortable doing so. So that might be smart to start kind of building more space for, you know, like co-working kind of space, or outdoor space has also become really important in that way, because then, you know, it's much safer than having an indoor space. So that's definitely something people talk about, because they know that people are home all the time. You know, it's something to think about. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was, you know, there's obviously a difference between a property that's located in an urban downtown area where there's limited parking, as opposed to a garden style property that's got, you know, on acres and acres with plenty of parking. But obviously, if people are working from home more, they're going to be at home, and parking then becomes, I think, more of a question. And then you've got, you know, upgraded Wi-Fi in the common areas because of the greater need and greater draw on that. These are just some of the things that I've heard some of the folks say about how that it could permanently change by having people work at home more. Obviously, the spaces is a big thing, as you mentioned. And then also the fact that with more of the residents living or staying at home, it's more exposure and more of a draw potentially of the on-site team's time, because they're there during the day and they're going to, you know, get in touch with the office, stop by the office for that, more things probably than what were being identified prior to that, because everybody was trying to get out and go get to their job. So, you know, there's, I think a lot of that's still going to have to kind of come out in the wash as we get further along and the pandemic is more in the rearview mirror. But at least right now, those are some of the things that I've heard some folks talking about. Any other ideas, creative ideas? We talked about online payments, online maintenance requests. Any other things that you've seen that have forced that the pandemic has forced people to reevaluate when it comes to that type of creativity?
You know, I think that's a lot of the main things I heard. Is just, you know, with the events. With it, just engaging with residents, you know, I did hear, you know, some people in one community, someone was really calling residents every day, you know, and that's kind of more, you know, just trying to be compassionate and understanding that, you know, this is a lot that we're all going through, and people may be impacted personally with their families with COVID and or job loss. So, that's become important to really kind of reach out more and you know, check on residents and see how they're doing. And like you said, they're at home a lot of the time, so it's nice to keep that conversation going and more regular. So, yeah, I've heard that they've really gotten more creative with text to, you know, just finding different ways to engage and talk to the residents.
Yeah, and I was going to say that, when you're talking about resident events and some of the things that had to be creative, I know one company that's a vendor to the apartment industry located in the United States and Canada. And, you know, one of the things they do as part of that is they create a sense of community by putting on resident events and communicating with the on-site teams as well as the on-site residents kind of an in between, because they have residents who actually live on site who are part of that company. And so much of what they did prior to the pandemic was in-person, you know, face-to-face contact with the residents. They had to completely redesign how they did their program when everybody was quarantined to be able to still provide value and be viewed by their clients as an amenity for the residents. And they were successful in doing so. And now, obviously, a lot of things are going to change for them once the pandemic has passed, as far as the way they operate, because they found great success in doing that. So I think it's changing not only the way the property, some of the supplier partners who are vital to each of the properties that are out there. We're up against a break. We're going to go ahead and break it here. We are going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
COVID-19 has greatly impacted the multifamily industry, emphasizing the need to reduce costs and increase revenue right now. PM Workforce can help you by providing intensely trained, performance-ready, certified leasing professionals. On-demand labor gives you more control over staffing costs. Their proprietary technology allows you to solve staffing problems within 60 minutes, 24/7, 365. Go to PMWorkforce.com before making a long-term hiring decision. Try one of their leasing professionals today. PM Workforce, the leasing management company. Consistently excellent.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
You are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we are discussing the topic of will the pandemic forever change property management. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today by phone is the extremely talented multimedia journalist, Holly Dutton, who is the senior associate editor with Multihousing News. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. PM Workforce, the leasing management company, consistently excellent. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. Holly, I know we've talked a lot about using virtual elements, whether they're virtual tours or apps to pay rent and so forth. Those are some of the changes that are going to be permanent. But on a more basic level, one of the things that has become of this is a difference in the way the on-site teams are cleaning and sanitizing common areas and apartments when they turn. So the new resident comes in to clean and sanitize the environment, sanitizing as they work on maintenance requests. What have you found about that? What are the people you interviewed saying about that?
Yeah, it's hugely important now, right? I mean, not just for multifamily, but just, you know, independently, we all now are constantly washing our hands and wiping things down and sanitizing. So, you know, for a lot of companies, they, you know, have developed, you know, they're kind of rewriting the handbook with this. And I think, you know, some of it will, they'll take with them in the future, but definitely for right now, I mean, you know, they really have to have a lot of protocols for this, and people expect it, you know, and they want to see that. It's very reassuring, I think. One company I spoke with, they actually have a 70-point checklist when they turn a unit from one resident mm-hmm. to another. And when they're done, they put literally a big seal on the door, you know, like you'd have on your ketchup or something, or a food product, you know, that just to show, like, you know, this is sealed and sanitized as thoroughly as possible. And I think that, you know, that's very reassuring for a resident coming in to see that, knowing that with all the, you know, fears we have right now with COVID, and, you know, that's something you want to show to residents, is that, you know, you're taking this very seriously. And so it's a big deal. I've heard that people have made big investments in products, and they're going to keep them around, you know, not just kind of hiring outside people to come in and clean. They're just getting their own equipment, because, you know, there have been events in the past, like, you know, flus before. So it's going to be good in the future.
Yeah, and I think some of that equipment that people are using now, which was not a you didn't see a lot of it in the past, would be these portable foggers to help clean and sanitize units. What did people say about? I've heard some people comment about air quality and ventilation and so forth. What did your the folks you spoke with talk about that?
Yeah, definitely. That's a big concern too. You know, really in any building, not just, you know, I've heard that in office buildings, definitely is hugely important. You know, in some places, you know, I live in New York personally, and the state is requiring that like gyms and malls have to have certain ventilation requirements just to open. You know, so I mean, it's a really big deal. I think for multifamily, definitely going forward, I think that's going to be something that developers are going to focus on, designing better ventilation if possible. And then, you know, for existing properties, they're going to look at their systems and see, you know, what they can do and to make things better and cleaner. But it's definitely air quality is especially, you know, like we said, people are going to be at home a lot. They want to try to get that in the best place it can be.
Yeah. I have some guests on the show kind of as we were coming out of the quarantine period in most parts of the country. And we were talking about sanitizing and the amount of time now that they're dedicating to sanitizing. A couple of places, a couple of guests I had, had properties that were located in places in the country where they were able to actually open up some of their amenities. And, you know, one of the amenities that properties have always used to market themselves is their gyms and areas where they have their equipment to work out and exercise. And they, that obviously with people perspiring and being, you know, grabbing the equipment and so forth, that's something that has to be sanitized on a regular basis. And some of the property management folks were saying that they were trying to figure out the best way to do that, without keeping someone right there, making sure they want to be able to rely on the person who's using the equipment to sanitize it when they finish, but that's not necessarily something you can count on, number one. And number two, they've got a situation where they would leave out the different items that they needed, supplies, you know, sanitizing wipes and sprays and things, And all of a sudden they would find when they let them out, they'd come back the next day and they'd all be gone because people would take them home to use at their house. So I think it's going to be a challenge in some cases to figure out the best way to do that and to be able to offer amenities to the residents like before the pandemic. Did you get any comments from people about challenges they're seeing like that?
Yeah. I heard a lot of that too. You know, that is a challenge. How do you, you can't totally manage someone's behavior, right? It sounds like something that, and at the time that I spoke to people, it seemed like a lot of amenities and their communities were still kind of shut. So they were still kind of figuring out how we're going to open these, you know, and what's that going to look like and how are we going to make sure everybody's following the right protocols. It's definitely a challenge. It's definitely a challenge. And we're going to have to keep getting more creative, it sounds like. Like they've done with a lot of other things.
I would say that one of the things that you mentioned earlier was about the company that you interviewed that had the 70-point checklist and the seal of approval, and obviously reading your story out, you know, you quote the person you spoke with about that. But I will let our listeners know that we had a guest on the show last week, and it was Terry Danner, a well-known person within the multifamily industry, who happens to now be the CEO of a company called SightPlan. And part of what SightPlan has done is they have created a video web series where they're going around showing appreciation for the on-site teams who have kept multifamily properties going through the pandemic, and they've gone across the country. I think there's 15 or 16 of these that they will do in this web series. But what's interesting about it is it's called Back to Work with Terry Danner. That's the name of it, Back to Work with Terry Danner. And it's kind of a cross between Undercover Boss and Dirty Jobs, those two television shows, where Terry Danner actually goes to a property in a city and will work with the different people on site doing the different things that they have. And there was a property in Washington, D.C. in this last week's episode that was owned and managed by the company that you quoted in your article. And they actually went through that 70-point checklist and put the seal on the door when they got through. So it's very interesting to be able to see that. And again, you can go to the SightPlan website, SightPlan, and click on the tab for Back to Work with Terry Danner, and you can see all the different episodes. It illustrates exactly what your point was and what you mentioned in your article, and I think it's a very interesting thing and something that particular company prides itself on as far as the way that they work within the property. So we're going to go ahead and break here. We're going to come back after these messages with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220 for a free analysis of your property. That's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of, will the pandemic forever change property management? I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today by phone is an extremely talented multimedia journalist, Holly Dutton, who is the senior associate editor with Multihousing News. Holly, the article that you wrote, which is our title, Will the Pandemic Forever Change Property Management, was fascinating, and you interviewed a great cross-section of people within the industry with companies of different sizes and in different locations, and got some good, really good information out there. The question is, in regards to what you found out and what your interview subjects told you, is where do we go from here? Pandemic's still with us to an extent. We're not all shut down as we were at some point in time, but we're still social distancing and wearing masks, and people are still working from home. Where do we go from here? What was the consensus? What did you find out?
You know, it was interesting. It was kind of mixed. You know, a lot of people felt that, you know, it is definitely, you know, forever changed. Some people felt like, you know, some things yes, some things no, and then, you know, I also from someone who was very adamant that, you know, it's not changed forever, and that person in particular, you know, they said they compared this event to, you know, things like the Oklahoma City bombing or you know, the anthrax scare, when which in particular, which I don't remember this, but you know, maybe I was younger back then, but he talked about how in, you know, in buildings they changed the color of the powder of soap, so they weren't white. You know, it was like an immediate thing that changed after that. And then, you know, of course, he talked about 9/11 with building management. And you know, he kind of said we kind of have a short memory, you know, and over time it kind of fades, and we kind of tend to go back to normal. And some of those protocols, you know, we eventually don't do the same thing anymore. And so he kind of felt like he kind of had the thought that, you know, this too will pass. But on the other hand, you know, a lot of people did agree that if anything, you know, whether certain protocols change or not, or stick with us, that for them, you know, their teams felt stronger than ever. You know, they felt like it's going to make them better operators. They've been through, you know, a huge test, especially if you were new to this industry. I mean, to start as a property manager and go through this is like, I mean, put that on your resume, right? That's a huge thing to go through and come out of. So, you know, they talked about feeling, you know, stronger than ever and tight-knit as a group. So, you know, that's, I guess, one kind of silver lining is that, you know, you come out more battle-tested and stronger. Those are some of the kind of the big things that big takeaways that I got from people.
What's actually here to stay? What's going to be a permanent change to the way we operate multifamily properties?
Well, definitely virtual tours, like we talked about, and you know, being able to pay online. People really liked that. They said, you know, those kind of things were already kind of gaining steam, getting more popular. And I don't think that will be as intense as it is, the cleaning protocols, but I do think people will still pay a little more attention to cleaning and sanitizing. I think that's going to be in people's mind for a long time. I think it's hard to imagine not having a focus on that for a while because it's been such a focus for these 6 months. So I think that's going to stick around at least for a while. And I think also the paying more attention to social media and, you know, having a sense of community and communicating with residents. I think that people have found that that's really helped them, you know, keep residents and, you know, have more renewals, and people like that. So I think that that's something that's going to stick around too.
And as far as that, the people on site, the property managers and their teams are operating, what have they learned during the pandemic?
I think they've learned that they can operate well remotely if they have to, you know, if they're not actually in the office, they kind of figured out how to do that. You know, like how to have, like we talked about, maintenance teams, you know, getting it done through TikTok or YouTube or video chat. They really like learned how to lead a whole team remotely and virtually. And that was a lot of people I talked to, I think that was kind of a concern for them because they were so used to being in person, and that was a huge change immediately. And, you know, that's good to know. And in the future, if something, some other event happens, that they know they can do this, and they have, you know, they've probably rewritten their actual handbook on what to do, and that they know they can switch over and do that is a good feeling. So I think that's definitely a big change.
And I think so much of it has to do with the actual people on the property. It's not necessarily the structure itself and the amenities, but it's the people that are important, and people that I guess have to be the front line and change that. I really like one of the quotes that you had in your story from the COO of a large company, and what she said was, "I think you will actually make us better operators." Speaking of the pandemic, with team members in the fight or flight mentality, and even though we have 5,000 employees and 680 properties, we've never felt smaller, more tight-knit family than since the pandemic began. I mean, that really kind of tells the story of the operators, large and small, have got to be able to depend on their teams on site and the, you know, all the people within the organization to be able to operate during this pandemic and to meet the needs of their residents. And you know, we haven't even discussed, you know, what's going on with, you know, what's going to happen down the road with evictions and things like that. I mean, that's something that's kind of hanging like a cloud over the industry right now. But
yes,
there's going to be some other lessons learned, you know, from that aspect once all that kicks in or we see what happens. Fascinating article. Tell our listeners again how they can read it, and let's talk a little bit about you and how you got into this, and also the company you work for.
Sure. Yeah. So if you liked that article, which I hope you did, you know, come back to our site, multihousingnews.com. We also have daily newsletters. We have all kinds of newsletters. I do the property management newsletter. If anybody, please feel free to reach out to me with any ideas. If you want to write a byline, we do that too. We have a viewpoint section. We'd love to hear from you. I like to hear feedback. And I love to hear from people in industry. So I was actually born and raised in Houston. Moved to New York about 10 years ago. And I went to University of North Texas, so majored in journalism. So I've been doing journalism for well over 10 years, and I've been writing, covering real estate in particular for about 8 years. And I also write, cover the commercial side too. So, but I do really love to write about multifamily and housing. And I've enjoyed that a lot.
It's such a great industry and a lot of really fine people in it. It's not an easy industry by any means. Tell us a little bit about, I think you also are a person who does photography. I saw that in your background.
That's right. Yeah, I do. I started doing that. I was writing and doing photography in college for my college newspaper, and I just fell in love with it. I actually got to photograph NASCAR at Texas Motor Speedway, which is a real big highlight from college. And then when I was living in Houston for a little bit after college, and I was freelancing for the Houston Chronicle, doing all kinds of different photos and all kinds of situations, and which is something I really love about that. Just like in journalism, you get to learn, in every situation, you get to learn something new. So, yeah, I still do photography, too, a bit on the side. I photographed weddings. I've done all kinds of stuff. And it's something I still love and am passionate about.
All right. Well, we're going to have to end it here, but I do want to encourage everyone to, if they don't subscribe to Multi-Housing News, please do so. You get great information. There is a daily newsletter. You get a lot of information about what's going on in the industry. And Holly is joined by a team of some other great writers who cover the multifamily industry pretty thoroughly. And Holly, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been great. Love to have you back again. And if you have any suggestions for topics on the industry, certainly send them to Holly. You can also let us know, and we'll be happy to look at doing a radio show about it as well. So thanks again, Holly, for being on the show.
Thanks so much, Paul. I had a great time. Love to come back.
Great. All right. Well, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. And you've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.